Yamunatiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana. Yamunatiravanachari. Yamunatiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivedikacharya Satupta Sarashi Shimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivedikacharya Satupta Sarashi Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai. Namacharya Salahidas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sekahonsi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivindi Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mayapur Navadvip Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Dvantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki jai, Goparimanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Narang Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatam Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, King Yayati Achieves Liberation, Text Number 19. Tasmare Tamaham Taktva Brahmanya dhyayamanasam nirdandvo nirahankaras charisyami migraisaha tasmaretam aham taktva Brahmanya dhyayamanasam Nirdvandvo nirahankaras Charisyami magraisaha. Tasmare tamaham taktva Pramanya dhyayamanasam Nirdandvo nirahankaras Charisyami mrigaisaha. Tasmare tamaham taktva Brahmanya Dhyaya Manasam Nirdanvo Nirahankaras Charisyami Mirgaisaha. Ladies? Tasmareta Mahantattva Brahmanya Dhyaya Manasam Nirdvanvo Nirahankaras Charisyami Migraisa. Go ahead. Tasmareta Mahantattva Brahmanya Dhyaya Manasam Nirdvanvo Nirahankaras Charisyami Mrigaisa Tasmat. Therefore, etvam, such strong desires for lusty affairs. Aham, I, tattva, giving up, brahmani, upon the supreme absolute truth. Adhyaya, fixing. Manasam, the mind. Nirdvandava, without duality. Nirahankara, without an identity of false prestige. Charisyami, I shall loiter or wander in the forest. Mrigaisaha, with the forest animals. Translation. Therefore, I shall now give up all these desires and meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, freed from the dualities of mental concoction and freed from false prestige. I shall wander in the forest with the animals. Please repeat. Therefore, I shall now give up all these desires and meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Free from the dualities of mental concoction and freed from false prestige, I shall wander in the forest with the animals. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. To go to the forest and live there with the animals, meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the only means by which to give up lusty desires. Unless one gives up such desires, one's mind cannot be freed from material contamination. Therefore, if one is at all interested in being freed from the bondage of repeated birth, death, old age, and disease, after a certain age, one must go to the forest. Panchor sodvam vanam rajat. After 50 years of age, one should voluntarily give up family life and go to the forest. The best forest is Vrindavan, where one need not live with the animals, but can associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who never leaves Vrindavan. Cultivating Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan is the best means of being liberated from material bondage. For in Vrindavan, one can automatically meditate upon Krishna. Vrindavan has many temples, and in one or more of these temples, one may see the form of the Supreme Lord, as Radha Krishna or Krishna Balaram, and meditate upon this form. As expressed here by the words, Brahmanye Adhyaya, one should concentrate one's mind upon the Supreme Lord, Parabrahman. This Parabrahman is Krishna, as confirmed by Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Krishna and his abode Vrindavan are not different. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ahadhyo Bhagavan Vrajesa Taniyas Taddama Vrindavanam. Vrindavan is as good as Krishna. Therefore, if one somehow or other gets the opportunity to live in Vrindavan, and if one is not a pretender, but simply lives in Vrindavan and concentrates his mind upon Krishna, One is liberated from material bondage. One's mind is not purified, however, even in Vrindavan, if one is agitated by lusty desires. One should not live in Vrindavan and commit offenses, for the life of offenses in Vrindavan is no better than the lives of the monkeys and hogs there. Many monkeys and hogs live in Vrindavan, and they are concerned with their sexual desires. Men who have gone to Vrindavan, but who still hanker for sex, should immediately leave Vrindavan and stop their grievous offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord. There are many misguided men who live in Vrindavan to satisfy their sexual desires, but they are certainly no better than the monkeys and hogs. Those who are under the control of Maya, and specifically under the control of lusty desires, are called Maya Mriga. Indeed, everyone in the conditioned state of material life is Maya Mriga. Indeed, everyone in, it is said, Maya Mrigam Dayatayipsitam Ana Anvadi Avad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas to show his causeless mercy to the Maya Mrigas, the people of this material world, who suffer because of lusty desires. One should follow the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and always think of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. Then one will be eligible to live in Vrindavan and his life will be successful. Om Agyanit Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Tasmari Tamaham Tattva Brahmanya Dhyaya Manasam Nirdanvo Nirahankaras Charisyami Mrigai Saha. Therefore, I shall now give up all these desires and meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Freed from the dualities of mental concoction and freed from false prestige, I shall wander in the forest with the animals. The ultimate result of King Yayati's long cherished attempts to find enjoyment have finally come to an end in the material sense. He's fed up. He's not satisfied, even after so much endeavor. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that there's different kinds of energy. Inferior energy means a low kind. Inferior means low, not very important. And superior energy, or higher energy, more important, better, of higher grade. And it's described that the living entity, apariyamitastam yam prakritim vidime param, is superior. The soul, the spirit soul, is actually superior to matter. So the question arises, how can something superior derive pleasure from that which is inferior? It's not compatible. It won't happen. But the living entity, in his perverted attempts to experience pleasure, seeks pleasure in that inferior realm. And that's why we're here, to purify that tendency. As Keshava Prabhu mentioned, today is also the appearance of Ramanujacharya. There are four Vaishnav Sampradayas, which come from four different people. We belong to which Sampradaya, beginning with whom? Can any of the Gurukulis say? Who's the first person in our Sampradaya? Nobody? Lord Brahma. We belong to the Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya, right? Lord Krishna spoke to Lord Brahma. So there's the Brahma Gaudiya, the Brahma Sampradaya. There's the Lakshmi Sampradaya, which is the one that Sri Ramanuja belongs to, the Sri Vaishnavas. There's the Kumara Sampradaya, and there's the Lord Shiva Sampradaya. So four Vaishnav Sampradayas. And I'm going to tie in Ramanuja's experience and a little bit of his life with this same sentiment of King Yayati. King Yayati is saying, I've tried so hard to enjoy this material world, now I'm going to give it up, and I'm going to concentrate on spiritual life, go to the forest, and live with the animals. Give up all this false prestige, this inferior nature. this attempt to enjoy the inferior nature. So similarly, let's go back 1,000 years to 1017 AD, South India. This is where Ramanujacharya appeared. The Sri Sampradaya glorify him as an Amsa of Vishnu, not a normal Jiva. They even say that he's Lakshman. Lakshman was Lord Ram's younger brother and always had a very service attitude toward his older brother and king. So their sentiment is based on a concept called Dasya Bhav. I am the servant of the Supreme Lord. This is their core belief. And there's another theme that I'm going to discuss throughout this class. That's the sense of bhav. Dasya bhava. Anybody can help me with this verse in Bhagavad Gita? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajanti antakalevaram tam tam eva iti kauntaya satatad bhava bhavitaha. So three times in one verse. And what is the translation of that verse? That verse means that whatever state of being one attains or one develops, when one dies, that state, that bhav, that state of being, he will attain in his next life. This is certain. So one's bhava doesn't just mean what one's thinking of. There's kind of a spool of images and thoughts in our conscious mind. It's not our state of being. Our state of being is a much deeper nature that each person has. And it's very difficult, unless you're a liberated soul, to really know the bhav of a person. Even you live with somebody. Even family members oftentimes don't really know the bhav. After years, sometimes there'll be a revelation of something more deep that was there in a person. So we'll discuss how that bhav is so important and how to develop it in relationship with Lord Krishna. So Ramanuja was a very intelligent young man, son of Keshava Acharya and Kantimati. And Kantimati had a brother who lived in a nearby town named Silapurna. And he was a disciple of Yamunacharya. The Sri Sampradaya, just like we have Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, Viswanath Chakrabarti, Baladev Vidyabhusana, Naratam, back to the Goswamis, back to Lord Chaitanya, Isbarapuri, Madhavendrapuri, back through the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. So similarly, they have a line of teachers called Alwars. And these are different great acharyas, teachers, saints, who came with that particular sampradaya and taught that philosophy and performed so many different pastimes. So Yamunacharya was the present-day head of the Sri Sampradaya at the time when Ramanuja was a young man. And his mother's brother, his uncle, was a disciple of Yamunacharya. Now Yamunacharya's famous verse, we can also tie in to King Yayati. King Yayati is saying, therefore, which means something in relation to something that happened previously. Taktva, therefore. Therefore, nobody just starts a story with therefore. There's some previous action that brings you up to say, therefore. And what were those previous actions? Those were all been described in the last previous verses about how he enjoyed or tried to enjoy for 1,000 years in a young body, even switched with his son, and enjoyed so much, now, and now he's not feeling the satisfaction of his bhav. He's not feeling inner satisfaction, even after so many attempts. So he's saying, therefore, as a solution to this problem, I'll do this. Yamunacharya's verse, since my mind has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and I have been enjoying an ever new transcendental humor, whenever I think of sex life with a woman, my face at once turns from it, and I spit at the thought. I hope you can see the parallel. It's the same sentiment. It's the same bhav, that I'm sick of this. I don't want to even think of it anymore. It's been a useless attempt. I don't even want to think. I spit at that thought. Don't bother me. So this is the sentiment that Yamunacharya had because ever since my mind has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and I have been enjoying an ever new transcendental humor, he's experiencing the higher taste. Vishayavanivartante niharasya dehi namrasavar jamrasyopyasya param drishta nivartante. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, even though the taste for sense in objects remains. But ceasing such engagement by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So the point is not to simply not do something, but to do something positive with the senses. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of children. You can't just tell them, go sit in a corner. What does that do, sit in a corner? Go if they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing. Better to give them something good to do. Then automatically they become absorbed in the new thing, and the old bad thing or unwanted activity becomes lessened. So Ramanuja was taught by his father, Keshavacharya, at a young age, Sanskrit, logic. Now 1,000 years ago in India, especially South India, it wasn't influenced by the Muslims at that time. Neither was North India until the 12th century. But basically, they were very caste conscious. Depending on what family you were born in, you were going to do what dad did, what your father did, or if you were born as a girl, you were going to marry a particular boy, your parents arranged it, in a particular caste. And the communities were very ritualistically oriented to the Vedas, as Keshava was also explaining. Sankaracharya had appeared 200 years prior, in 800 AD. And he had 500 BC, Buddha had come. And we know from Srila Prabhupada's explanations in Srimad Bhagavatam that at that time people were using Vedic rituals to kill animals and sacrifice and eat them. So Buddha came and he said, forget these Vedic rituals. You should seek enlightenment, not read some book. So he pretty much threw out the Vedic concept in order to try to get people away from the ritualistic ceremonies of killing so many animals. So let's see, 500 and 800 is 1,300 years went by, and then Sankaracharya appeared. And he said, no, the Vedas are good, and they teach this, that all living entities are one, and therefore you shouldn't kill the animals, but you should follow the Vedic rituals. And again, people started to follow Vedic rituals without killing the animals. But the concept of being one was still prominent. So Ramanujacharya was the first one to come, and he established that no, the living entities are not one with the Lord, they're always servants, Dasyabhava. Now, the way he came to that conclusion was that he was associating as a young man with his mother's brother, his uncle, Silent Purna. So he got some, who was a disciple of Yamunacharya, who's also one of the Alwars teaching this philosophy. But when he was 16 years old, his mother arranged for him to marry a nice Brahmin girl. And he married her, but shortly thereafter, about a month after the marriage, his father died. Now, he wasn't 16 years old. He wasn't really old enough to take care of the family and teach. He hadn't really learned. Couldn't start a school or something like that. He was too young. So the family moved to Kanchi, where his mother's brother lived, Silent Purna lived. And there was also another wonderful Vaishnava that Ramanuja began to associate extensively with named Kanchi Purna. He was born as a Sudra, but he had very strong feelings of this Dasyabhava towards the Lord Vishnu. So at this time, there was a school run by Yadava Prakas, who was a follower of Sankaracharya's school, just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a big Vedantist. And he could quote so many verses that proved the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not the personality of Godhead, and Brahman are one. So Ramanujacharya, at 16 years old, began to go to that school of Yadava Prakas. But his mind was very disturbed when he would hear the explanations according to Shankara's philosophy, because he'd been taught and had association with Sailapurna and Kanchipurna, his uncle and this other Sudra Vaishnava in Kanchi. So sometimes he would begin to refute Yadava Prakas, the teacher. And the students would start to see this rift. And Yadava Prakas was a very intelligent man. He's a guru of many disciples. And he could see that this Yamuna, this Ramanuja, he's an upstart. He doesn't follow this philosophy. But Ramanuja was so eloquent in his presentation, so logical. He knew Shastra so well that he started to defeat Yadava Prakas. And Yadava Prakas became so angry, so disturbed, that he actually plotted a plan to kill Ramanujacharya. And he was going to take all his disciples on pilgrimage to the Ganges in the north. And he had a conspiracy with some of his disciples to kill Ramanuja. But Ramanuja's cousin, Govinda, was also in the class. And he heard the different students talking about how they were going to kill Ramanuja. And he warned Ramanuja, who therefore averted the calamity and left. So when they got back to Kanchi, after their trip to the Ganges, Ramanuja was there, and Yadava Prakas told him, "Don't come to my school anymore. You're not welcome." It was too much of a disturbance. Around this time, Yamunacharya, the one who quoted that, who stated that verse, and who was the head of the Sampradaya, was very old. So he asked one of his disciples, he had seen Ramanuja as a young man around when he traveled and when they had seen each other. They weren't in the same town. But he told one of his disciples, Mahapurna, that "I'm going to be leaving soon and I want Ramanuja to come and I want to meet him." So Mahapurna went to Kanchi to bring Ramanujacharya to Yamunacharya before he left. He walked a few days to Kanchi. He told Ramanuja that Yamunacharya wants to see you. So they both traveled 2 or 3 days walk. And as they were entering Sri Rangam town, there was a procession where they were carrying the body of Yamunacharya. He had left this world. And oh, their hearts were broken. He wasn't able to see and meet and discuss and hear Krishna Katha, Vishnu Katha from Yamunacharya. But they paid their respects, and they saw that Yamunacharya had 3 fingers. His hand was kind of in a strange mudra, with 3 fingers closed. And Ramanuja noticed this, and he said to the disciples, "Was his hand always like this?" They said, "No." So he said, "I will make declaration." And he made 3 promises. And as he said each one of these promises, even though he had left his body and was in samadhi, Yamunacharya's fingers, as he stated one of the vows, one of his fingers would open. Then he stated another one, and another finger opened, and finally the last. And the 3 were: he promised to preach the glories of Sri Vishnu throughout Bharatvarsha, to become an acharya, to preach, to write a Sri Vishnu commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. For those of you who have watched Chaturatma's videos, you might have heard, I think he probably did one, on Baladev Vidyabhusana's commentary called Govindabhasya. This is the Gaudiya commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Each of the Sampradayas has to have a bona fide commentary on the Vedanta Sutras in order to be a bona fide Sampradaya. And at the time of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, which was 200 years after Lord Chaitanya, there was still no commentary. So some of the other groups said, "Hey, you're not even a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya because you don't have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra." So Baladev Vidyabhusana went to Galta, which is near Jayapur, and Govinda, Radha Govinda, Rupa Goswami's deity, narrated the sutras. He narrated the book. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, I have not written these books. Krishna has written these books. So in the same way, Govinda Bhasya means Govinda's words. Baladeva Vidyabhusana listened to Govinda and wrote the Govinda Bhasya. So he would write a commentary. It's called Sri Bhasya. It's the commentary on Vedanta Sutra by Ramanujacharya. And finally, he would honor Vyasadeva's father, Parasara, by naming a Vaishnava after him. So in this way, Ramanujacharya was seen by all the disciples as a prominent person because Yamunacharya's fingers opened up. So when he went back to Kanchi to his young wife, at that time, Ramanuja became very detached and very contemplative. He was heartbroken because he never met Yamunacharya. And he used to stay with Kanchipurna and Sailapurna, the two disciples of Yamunacharya, who had been teaching him Sri Vaishnav philosophy, and he was hardly ever at home. And his wife became very disturbed. Why are you not spending any time at home, Prabhu? I'm chanting Hare Krishna, associating with the devotees. No, 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 you come home, you spend more time with me. My mind's disturbed, I need your association. So Ramanujacharya devised a plan where he wanted to take initiation from Kanchipurna. But Kanchipurna was a sudra. This was practically unheard of at that time. So Kanchipurna continued to reject the idea. He would constantly ask him, and he would say, no, I'm not going to give you initiation. I'm not going to give you diksha. So he wanted his mercy. And he told his wife, Rakshambala, what's her name? Yeah, Rakshambala. Rakshambala, cook a very nice feast and we'll invite Kanchipurna because I want to take his Mahaprasad. There's a nice verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhakta Pada Duli Ara, Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Bhukta Abhishesha, Tina Mahabal. The dust of the feet of a devotee, the water that has washed the feet of a devotee, and the remnants of food left by a devotee are three very powerful substances. So he wanted to take the Mahaprasad of Kanchipurna, told his wife to cook. So she cooked a nice feast, but Kanchipurna knew. He caught what was going on. So rather than coming at the appointed time, he came early to take Mahaprasad, to take the prasad. He ate. And Rakshambala, she was not favorable at all to Ramanuja at this time. Ramanuja's association with this sudra, this low-born man, she was very caste-conscious, very proud of her status as a Brahmin's wife, as a Brahmin, and this was a sudra. So after Kanchipurna ate, she cleaned the place. She had a sudra come in and clean, a sudra cleaning lady come in and clean the room, and she told them, you take this Mahaprasad, take what's left over and distribute it to the sudras. This was the customs of the time. And then Ramanuja came home. And he was looking forward to get that Mahaprasad from Kanchipurna. And he came home and, Rakshambala, did Kanchipurna come? Yes, he came. Where's the Mahaprasad? Oh, I distributed it to the sudras. Oh, I'm not taking this Mahaprasad. It's a sudra. I gave it to the sudras. He was devastated. Who else knows of someone who is devastated by his wife's actions, not supporting his bhakti, his translations of Srimad Bhagavatam, gave his book away? Ooh. So at this time, Ramanuja became even more disturbed. And then what happened was Kanchipurna continued to reject his pleas for association. So Mahapurna gave him initiation. It's far out. In the Sri Sampradaya, when you take initiation, they brand you. You know what a brand is? They take a hot iron rod and put it in the fire. And then they take it and they burn your skin. But they don't burn it with something mundane. It's symbols of Vishnu. They put the chakra on one side and conch shell on the other. So Ramanujacharya took initiation from Mahapurna and he got branded as a Sri Vaishnava. And Mahapurna's wife, who was also lower born, and Rakshambala were at the well one day getting water. And Mahapurna's wife was a bit older, and she was pulling the water up out of the well, and a little bit of it, as she grabbed her balti, as she grabbed her bucket, some of the water spilled out and hit Rakshambala's bucket. And she fried. You nonsense! What kind of, I'm a Brahmin, and your Sudra water touching my pot? So the disturbance in front of all the ladies disturbed Mahapurna's wife, and she went home, and she was a gentle lady, and she explained this to her husband, Ramanuja's guru. So immediately they packed up and left and went to Sri Rangam. Now when Ramanuja heard this, that was just about the end of Rakshambala and Ramanuja's lovely household life. And Ramanuja wrote a letter that was supposedly came from her father, saying that your sister's getting married, come home and help for the ceremonies. And he gave this to Rakshambala, and he gave her everything, and he said, you go, and your father wants you to come now, your sister's getting married. So Rakshambala went off in great ecstasy to go to the marriage. And at this time, Ramanuja left, and he went to the temple of Sivardhadvaj, which was nearby, and he took off his white cloth, and he put on the saffron, and he went before the deity, and he completely surrendered. He took sannyas. This is also the example that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati followed. We wonder how Ramanujacharya, our sampradaya, him, and everything. Bhakti Siddhanta, anybody know who his sannyas guru is? Who gave Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati sannyas? Bhakti Siddhanta. He took a picture of Gaurakishora and gave himself sannyas, following the example of the previous acharyas, Ramanuja. So, now, let's kind of twist and go through this bhav mood, follow the bhav of Ramanuja, and see in this purport, Srila Prabhupada's bhav, Srila Prabhupada's mood. This is Yayati saying, I'm going to give up all this and go to the forest. There's no mention of Vrindavan, but Srila Prabhupada's whole purport, practically speaking, is very Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta, Gaudiya Vaishnav Bhav, that you go to Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada's kind of revealing something of his own experience. We know his sannyas. There's a nice story. I don't know if many of you have read Mula Prakriti's book. Mula Prakriti, our god sister, was very enthused to interview people who knew Srila Prabhupada before he came to America. And she went around for years trying to find people who knew Srila Prabhupada before he left for America, who were his friends. And of course, she interviewed Sridhar Maharaj, his old godbrother. And at the time, this interview, the story we're narrating, Srila Prabhupada lived in Calcutta. And Sridhar, he had a room upstairs in the home. And of course, we know from Prabhupada's explanations and everything that he was very favorable to the Gaudiya Math. So he would constantly help them preach, invite them over, and Sridhar Maharaj and one assistant actually had a room in the house upstairs, separate quarters. They would stay there. One night about 2 o'clock in the morning, woke up, said, what is it? Srila Prabhupada was at the door. He said, I've just had a dream. Bhakti Siddhanta came to me. He wants me to take sannyas. You give me a sannyas, please. Sridhar Maharaj, he's saying this to his godbrother. So Sridhar Maharaj is thinking, I'm in his home, his kids and his wife are downstairs, this isn't really a very conducive atmosphere for such action, so he refused. He said, I'm sorry, Abai, I can't do that, I won't do that. So it happened one time before, and when the family woke up the next morning, Srila Prabhupada was gone. He had left and gone to Vrindavan. So what was Srila Prabhupada searching for? What was he looking for? What is so special about Vrindavan that makes it what it is? If you take a pin on a map and you go to Krishna Janmasthan and put your pin there, and then you take your compass or a string and you make a circle, you go out about 50 miles and you go and you make a circle around Krishna Janmasthan, what do you get? Brajmandala. You get a circle where the Supreme Personality of Godhead performed his pastimes as a young boy with Krishna and Balaram and all his cowherd boyfriends. He appeared in Mathura at Krishna Janmasthan. Then he was moved to Gokul. Then they went to Chatikar near Krishna and Balaram temple when they were moving because so many demons were coming. Then they went to Nandagram. And then as a young boy, what would he do? Just like we have our, if you take Raman Reti and go 50 miles around. Okay, you got Post Springs, High Springs, Gainesville. You know, there's places where everybody goes. All the kids know it. All the adults know it. So our lives, our bhav, our interaction with all the things around us become these acts of Lowe's, Hitchcock's, Food Lion. With Krishna, it was Govardhan, Radhakund, Pavan Sarovara. And when Lord Chaitanya met with Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, he instructed them what? You do three things. Three things. Excavate the holy places, establish deity worship, and write books. When Rupa Goswami compiled Nectar of Devotion, he gave, out of all the different rules and regulations, out of all the rituals, five things. Excite and encourage and inspire bhakti. See if I can remember the verse. Sadhu Sangha, Namakirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Mathura Vasa, Srimutira, Shradhaya Sevan. Sadhu Sangha, associate with devotees. Namakirtan, chant the holy name. Bhagavat Shraman, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Mathura Vasa, live in the district of Mathura. Sri Murtira, the Murti, the deity of Lord Krishna. Sevaya, Shradhaya Sevan, worship it, worship him with faith. So it's one of the most five important things. Somehow, bhakti, devotion to Lord Krishna, is inspired, excited, enthused when one is in Vrindavan. So, let's go there and follow Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's bhav for Vrindavan in the first verse of the chapter introducing the Rasa Dance. This is chapter 29. Krishna and the gopis meet for the Rasa Dance. Sri Badarayana Uvacha Bhagavana Pitaratri Sarotpula Malikai Visvranantum Manaschakre Yogamayamupashvitaha. Now, if you've read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries, what he generally does is take each Sanskrit word, practically speaking, and kind of analyze it. So I won't read the whole purport, but there are three different aspects to this purport which help us kind of stick our noses into the nectar, like bees stick their stinger and then suck out some nectar. There's some nectar here. Bhagavan api. The first words in this verse are Bhagavan api taratri. Bhagavan api. Bhagavan, the supreme person who is complete in all opulences, doesn't need anything, self-sufficient, atmarama, doesn't need anyone else to find enjoyment. But he's saying Bhagavan api taratri. Even though Krishna is Bhagavan, full in all varieties of opulences, he turned his mind toward enjoying because of the time, the place, and the persons, which are three udipanas, to excite ras. The Sanskrit word for something that excites or inspires loving relationship is called udipana. So there were three udipanas that inspired Krishna to perform the rasa dance: the time, the place, and the people. The time was the full moon night of the Sarat season. The place was the forest of Vrindavan. And the persons were the lovely damsels of Braj. All three served to inflame the passion of enjoyment by their supreme capacity to attract Krishna's mind with their sweetness. Although he is Bhagavan, these three things still had the power to attract him. Then he explained each one of those three, the autumn night. Krishna became desirous of relishing with his own ears and other senses the variegated charms of the topmost experts of billions among women in the arts of amorous love. He wanted to enjoy with his own senses the sweet sound of the gopis' voices, the beauty and their fine fragrance, tenderness, cleverness, and skill in dancing and playing music. Krishna also wanted the gopis to relish with their own ears and other senses the sound of his sweet voice. Krishna's yogamaya potency under the influence of pure love and impelled to act by Krishna's sarva sankalpa shakti, the potency to instantly fulfill all desires, brought millions of other nights which were needed for carrying out such loving pastimes into that single night of merely four praharas. Therefore, the word for nights, ratrihi, in this verse is plural. In other words, Krishna is unlimited, and he has unlimited desire. So Yogamaya's job, Yogamaya's efficiency, Yogamaya's service is to arrange circumstances to fulfill those desires. It's his internal potency meant to bring about this fulfillment of Krishna's desires. So Yogamaya arranged that all kinds of nights, in fact, the time of Lord Brahma's night, came together in one night by Yogamaya. No one knew it. But in order to fulfill such a person's desires, that had to come about. So Ratrihi is plural in that particular verse. The attractiveness of the place. Sarotpula Malikai. Although out of season, the jasmine or malika flowers were blooming in the autumn. Now, if you live in Vrindavan, you'd know that malika flowers don't bloom in the autumn. They bloom in the summer. But in order to create an atmosphere which was even more sublime, Vrindavan arranged for those flowers to bloom. Not only that. And Vishwanath supports his statement. In the next chapter, verse 11 states, at the time of the rasa dance, the garland of jasmine flowers on Krishna's neck became tinged with kumkum from Radha's breasts, thus supporting the understanding that these flowers were indeed manifest. Thus, it should be understood that the jasmines were blooming out of season in the autumn. Verse 45 says, the gentle wind bore the fragrance of lotus flowers. Although lotuses do not bloom at night, it is understood that on that special night, the lotuses also bloomed. Such is the super excellent charm of Vrindavan that there were lotus flowers open even during the night. So the point is that Srila Prabhupada in his purport quoted a verse by Lord Chaitanya. Aradyo Bhagavan Varjesa Tanayas Taddama Vrindavanam. Vrindavan is as good as Krishna. It's his internal potency, Sandini. It's manifested by Balaram for the pleasure of Krishna. Balaram's a servant of Krishna. And he wants to fulfill his desires. So he creates an atmosphere through which Krishna can fulfill all these desires. When it's said that, maybe perhaps you've seen maps that kind of look like a lotus flower with the different petals. And those petals, Braj, so somebody may go today, and like if you're in Nandagram and you want to go to Govardhan, that's quite a hike. That's over 20 kilometers. So how did little boys go out with their cows and walk from Nandagram over to Govardhan every day and back? Well, the lotus flower is just like a flower opens and closes. It's said from those that have the vision that Braj, the Braj Mandala, opens and closes, so that Krishna can manifest another part later on in the rasa dance. The question may be raised, how did so many hundreds and thousands and millions of gopis have room on the banks of the Jamuna to dance with Krishna? There's not that much room. There's not that big a space. And the answer is given, that Vrindavan expanded. It's also said, one time there was one person came to Gaurakishore Das Babaji. He wanted to buy some land in Mayapur, and he wanted to come and kind of get some advice. So he was talking with Bhakti, with Gaurakishore Das Babaji about buying this land. And Gaurakishore said, you cannot afford with hundreds and thousands of Chintamani stones to even buy one grain of sand in Mayapur. It's said that the entire universe fits into one grain. Our vision is all material. It's all perverted. So to wind things up, the point here is that Yayati is not simply sour grapes. I haven't enjoyed. He's seeking a higher pleasure. If we seek our pleasure in relationship to Krishna, then automatically all the lower forms of enjoyment gradually dissipate. I think Samapriya found a really nice verse the other day. I wish I had it. It said that for one who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna, even once, his material existence is terminated and his material attachments become dissipated. This is the process that we're involved in, gradually, day by day. And what happens is that one's bhava is a very deep thing. It's not like what you see just in your conscious mind. It's who a person is, way down deep. I mean, you can't even stick your hand that deep. You can't even drill that deep. We can't access that deep, because that's where when you leave this body, we don't have any control over our bhava at the time of death, and like your car. Oh, okay, I want to steer it over to a gopi body. It matters what you've done your whole life. So we should be aware and always aware that what we're doing at every moment, all the time, is creating some kind of a bhav in our interaction, our field of activities, and all these things we're doing are affecting us and others. And therefore, this process is meant, Srila Prabhupada's whole society, is meant to uplift everyone in this search for Krishna, and in a loving relationship where all the other things will gradually dissipate, fall away, and become insignificant. Hare Krishna. The verse again. Therefore, I shall now give up all those desires and meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, freed from the dualities of mental concoction and free from false prestige. I shall wander in the forest with the animals. Any questions, topics of discussion?
So on the Guru Astakam we sing every morning, it is said that the spiritual master is very expert in bringing Madhurya Leela, right?
Yes.
So is he an expansion of this Yoga Maya?
I think there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that says, Mahatmanas tamam partha daivim prakritama ashritaha, that the Mahatmas are under the jurisdiction of Yoga Maya. Marginal potency can serve either Yoga Maya or Mahamaya, sometimes a little of this and a little of that. But the Mahatmas, the great souls, the spiritual master, is under the control, under the direction of this Yoga Maya. So he's being directed in that way. So therefore, yes, he's under the, I don't know if you would say he's an expansion of Yoga Maya, but he's under the control of Yoga Maya. He's under that energy. Again, speak so people on the internet and whatever.
In you mentioned a book that this Mataji made about Prabhupada's associates before he came over here to America. One of his godbrothers said to the disciples, or to her, that Srila Prabhupada was an expansion of Lord Nityananda's love.
Hmm.
So that's coming through the disciplic succession. Is that not true?
Certainly. The spiritual master is, I think even Prabhupada says, he's a representative of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda is the guru, Balaram. So any manifestation of that could be said to be an expansion of Lord Nityananda, certainly.
Well, your class is super nice class, actually.
Thank you.
It's right, so many things. I was going to say one thing, but then you asked that question, it brought something else up. Actually, Guru's both an expansion of Srimati Radhika and Balaram. So Yogamaya, not directly, so this verse is true, all the working under the jurisdiction of Yogamaya, but Guru in particular is an expansion of Srimati Radhika's potency and the potency of Akanda Guru Tattva Balaram. But even Vrindavan Dham itself expands from Swarup Shakti. The Swarup Shakti that comes from Krishna has Sandini, Ladini, and Samvit. So Radhika attributes Samvit Shakti to Krishna as the predominating deity. And she gives Sandini Shakti, she expands her potency of Sandini Shakti to Lord Baladev. So Lord Baladev becomes Seva Vastu and Seva Vritti. He becomes the substance to please Krishna and the tendency to serve and please Krishna. But the Shakti, the power to do that, actually comes from Swarup Shakti, which comes from Radhika. So Lord Balaram's name means, Bala means Shakti or power. Shakti coming from Radhika. Ramate iti Rama. The power to give Krishna pleasure is called Balaram. That power originally coming from Krishna Swarup Shakti, which is Srimati Radhika. And Vrindavan Dham, both in Skanda Purana, Prakriti Manasa Jatu, Giri Govardhana, says that all, even Giriraj Govardhan, everything, came from the heart of Radhika. Also, Radhika herself at Kurukshetra, she said, Ridoya Moraman, Moramana Vrindavan, Mani Vani Eka Kari Jani. This Vrindavan and my heart, they're one thing. So all these things originally come from Swarup Shakti. And the only reason this thing is important is the sort of dynamic of how our relationship with Vrindavan works. So no time to go into that whole thing.
Okay. Thank you. I think we can also remember Navadvip Dham Mahatya and how that Navadvip was manifest from Srimati Radharani for Krishna. Mataji?
Thank you for such a nice class. I wanted to make a comment. You were speaking about Krishna's travels. And our reading group, we're reading the first canto, chapter 2, and it speaks on a purport about Krishna traveling far distances. And before we read the translation, we all got into a discussion how far it was and how did he go this far. And then in Prabhupada's purport, it said, and never mind how far he traveled and trying to figure this out, just understand it happened. Mm. Something along those lines.
Yes, it's practically inconceivable from our material point of view. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
What? Oh, is that what's supposed to happen?